I get asked frequently about what I did before I decided to become a preacher. Before this, I was working in the sports broadcasting industry. I was working behind the scenes doing camera and audio work, and I've done work with the Dynamo and the Rockets. But the coolest thing that I've done was work with the Astros during the 2022 season. We all know what happened that season, right? We won the World Series for a second time, right, Joel? A second time? In fact, I may or may not have a ring with my name on it. It's not with me, but I promise you it exists. I'm not making that up. But to be honest with you, this was hard work. The job was physically demanding. We had to move all of our heavy equipment all around the stadium and set up our cameras and move hundreds of feet of cable. The job was also pretty stressful at times. I remember this soccer game I was working in. There was this storm passing over us. And 2 minutes before we go live on air, we lose power. It got chaotic at times. You know, what do you do when you lose power to everything? But despite the good moments that I had at that job, near the end of my time, I was struggling. At times, I was the only Christian on the job. Some of the people that I worked with did things that just made me uncomfortable when I was around them. At times, I just had to separate myself from them and let them know, hey, I don't live the way that you do. Along with this, I was working or on the road most Sundays, which didn't help me spiritually. As time went on, I noticed I was struggling being a light to the people around me. Do we struggle being a light in the world? It's certainly a challenge because we live in a dark world. Our culture has forgotten what it means to fear God. And along with this, we interact with people daily who don't follow Jesus. So if we're not careful, if we're not watching ourselves, we can become under the influence of the world. Let's remember what Jesus said in John chapter 17, that while we are in the world, we are not of the world. We are called to be different. Here's the challenge that you and I face, and I want all of us to think about this question together. How can we live in a corrupted world as faithful disciples? Jesus gives us this answer over in Matthew chapter 5, if you will turn over there with me. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus starts out the Sermon on the Mount by going through this list called the Beatitudes. A lot of us are familiar with this. I'll start in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." In the Beatitudes, Jesus is describing what his disciples look like. And as followers of Jesus, we need to embrace the Beatitudes. We need to be pure in heart. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We need to rejoice and be glad despite the struggles that we face. But Jesus doesn't stop there. I'm going to continue in verse 13. It reads, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Jesus is saying here, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus is telling us the impact that we have on the world. We are letting Christ be seen and heard through us. Can you think of any greater purpose? Being salt and light is who we are and who we need to be. In order to be what God needs us to be, let's dissect this and see what it really means to be salt and light. First, Jesus tells us that we are salt of the earth. What's the purpose of salt? It's a little strange that we're being called salt of the earth. Well, salt has a few purposes. One of those is that salt preserves. In that day, before there was any refrigerators or any cool places to store meat, salts would be applied onto it to keep it from spoiling. Because the way that salt works is that it absorbs the moisture in the air and it prevents bacteria from spreading and just spoiling it and rotting it. It's no secret that sin has spoiled and corrupted the world. We are called to have a preserving effect on the world. By spreading the gospel and preventing the spreading of sin. When I was thinking about biblical examples of salt, the prophets came across my mind. In the time of the prophets, Israel was a rotten place, I guess you could say it. They were giving into idolatry. They were marrying into foreign nations. They were just rebelling against God. So the prophets were used by God to speak the truth, push back on sin, and basically warn them, hey, if you don't repent and turn back to God, well, bad things are going to happen. Now, the prophets didn't speak to just the people of Israel. We see an example of this in the book of Jonah. Turn over there with me. Put your place here in Matthew chapter 5. Look with me in the book of Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh because Nineveh was just spoiled rotten. These people were bad, they were evil, they were wicked. Of course, Jonah doesn't go to Nineveh to warn them that God is going to overthrow them. Instead, Jonah goes the opposite direction. He gets on a boat, he gets thrown overboard, he gets swallowed up by a fish, he gets thrown up by a fish. Then he goes into Nineveh and warns them that, hey, in 40 days, God is going to overthrow you. That's a pretty bad message. Let's see how the people of Nineveh responded. Jonah chapter 3, starting in verse 6. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them. and he did not do it. Because of how the people responded, because they repented and turned back to God, God spared them. And the story of Jonah, we see that God used Jonah to help preserve Nineveh. When you think about it, our jobs are a little similar to the prophets. Have you ever thought about that? That God has spoken to us through his word, and now we are called to go into the world, speak his truth, and push back on sin. Think about the significance that we have in people's lives. We are helping others come to find salvation in Jesus. Instead of running away like Jonah did, we need to be in the world speaking the truth. Because God uses us to speak his word that preserves souls. The other purpose of salt is that salt adds flavor. Does anyone here like scrambled eggs? Bland? It's like eating warm mush. That's why every time you make scrambled eggs, you gotta put a little bit of salt, gotta put a little bit of pepper, maybe some garlic on there. Because salt, it adds flavor, it enhances the flavor. By being salt, we are bringing the goodness of God into the world. We are called to love others and help others come to know Jesus. In the church, we are helping each other grow and flourish in the Lord. We are called to speak out against sin and prevent it from spreading. But here's the challenge, the daily challenge that you and I can face. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 5. And look what Jesus says there in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Can salt lose its saltiness? Technically, salt can lose its flavor on its own. It can be diluted by water. It can be changed chemically. When I was in the Boy Scouts, there was this one camp I went on when we had Boy Scout seasoning with every meal. Dryson, do you know what that is, Boy Scout seasoning? Well, you probably will after I explain this. So this one camp we went on, we went up in the mountains, all of our gear was on our back, and, you know, of course we had our fire going, and our pot was pretty low to the ground on top of the fire, and we cooked all of our food in that. And we would add, you know, our normal seasonings, salt, pepper, Tony Satcheries, that was a pretty go-to. But at the same time, you got a whole bunch of boys kicking dust, walking by it. You got flies flying all in the pot. That was every meal. Every meal, you could just taste the grittiness of the dirt. Maybe you could get an occasional crunch from a fly every now and again. But let me tell you, no amount of salt could get rid of that earthy taste. So every meal we ate was pretty much contaminated by the world. We can become contaminated when we mix the world into our lives. Jesus can't use us if we've been corrupted. If we're ruined by the world, if we've been lost to it, then we can't help others come to find Jesus. If we are living with sin mixed into our lives, then we aren't living the way that Jesus wants us to live. We can't spread goodness into the world if we are embracing the bad, letting ourselves become contaminated with the world defeats the purpose that Jesus has for us. Jesus says that once salt loses its taste, the only thing you can do with it is just to throw it out and let it be walked on. It becomes pavement after that. We can't take the chance of mixing even a little sin into our lives. Because like bacteria, it grows and it spreads. Because of this, we need to notice if we are being corrupted by the world. We need to notice if we are thinking like the world is thinking. We need to realize if we are being influenced by people who don't know Jesus. When we notice this, we need to take action and we need to come back to Jesus. Let's focus on our purpose. We have been called to bring the goodness of God into the world. Because of this, we need to stay pure as we bring a message that preserves souls. We are bringing his message to a world that is rotting away. We are the salt of the earth. Let's look at the second name that Jesus gives us. We are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. I'm a little ignorant about current news events, and so David assigned me every day to watch a few minutes of the news just to see what's going on and stay informed. And let me tell you, that is not fun. In fact, it's depressing. Because every single day, someone's getting murdered, or you find out about the riots that were happening in LA a few weeks ago, or the new development of what's happening in the Middle East. The madness never stops. Has your kid ever come up to you and ask, why do bad things happen? Well, here's a simple answer you can give them. Sin. That without Jesus, things are bad. This is why Jesus came into the world, was to deal with the problem of sin. Jesus came into the world to be a light to it. Look what Jesus says in John 8:12. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world because he has overcome sin and death. In fact, Jesus came to be a light of the world to offer the greatest gift to all who obey him. And if we walk in the ways of Jesus, well, we also become lights. We have an impact. Back in Matthew chapter 5, take a look at verse 14. Jesus tells us, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Think about that. We are like a city set on a hill. Think about big skyscrapers. When we're shining bright like a city on a hill, we light up what's around us. We are being seen by others. In fact, it's impossible to not be seen. If we were walking in the desert, surrounded by darkness, but then we saw one of these skyscrapers in the distance, well, I think we would start walking towards that because that means, hey, there's food, there's water, there's life. The light we shine is the light of life. We want others to know that the light that we shine is just a reflection of Jesus. We want others to know that salvation is only possible through Jesus. We want others to know that they can have their sins forgiven. They can receive the gifts of eternal life. We want this light to be attractive towards other people. We want others to see the light and start walking towards it. But to be bright light, it matters what we do. Because look down in verse 16. Jesus says in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Everything we do needs to be for God's purpose because God will be seen through our good works. He will be seen in how we treat others. He will be seen in our attitudes. He will be seen in what we value. To speak in Gen Z vocabulary, we are influencers. But look, we aren't doing this to bring attention to ourselves. We are doing this to give Jesus the attention because our lights are just a reflection of him. Look with me over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, look what Paul had to say there. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. Paul says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." This is why we need to be different from the world. This is why our actions matter. How we act in public is important. Because with our lights, we show the world who we live for. In all we do, we let Jesus stand out. We let him be seen in our lives. Let's notice what else happens as we continue to walk in the light. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. Verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. As we continue to walk in the light, will we continue to be changed? Because being a light isn't just how we act in public and what we do when other people are looking, but being a light will also change our hearts. Because the more that we attach ourselves to God's word and continue to walk in his ways, the more that his bright light will shine on the dark areas of our hearts. In fact, we may notice some bad habits that we need to stop. We may notice that we are being influenced by things we are watching or listening to. Maybe we notice that our lights aren't shining that bright. It shouldn't be a surprise that keeping our lights shining is a challenge. In fact, we sing a song about it. VBS is this week, and we may sing the song, right, "This Little Light of Mine." That song warns us about the challenges that we face being lights. Help me out. It says, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan. Whew, very good. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. This song warns us, don't do these things. Don't let it happen because God's purpose is defeated if we are covering up our lights. Jesus says it himself in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 5. It says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. If we turned on a lamp in the middle of our living room and then just put one of those heavy blankets up over the light to where now it's darkness, well, why would we need a lamp in the first place? That will kind of defeat the purpose of it. God's light can't be seen if we are covering up our lights. Let's think about it. Are we covering up our lights? Are we hiding it from the world? There's a few ways that we can let this happen. One of those ways is when we stay silent. Or as I've heard some people call it, being a secret Christian. This is when we don't give any indication that Jesus is in our lives. This is when we don't talk about Jesus. We don't talk about things that we do with the church. This is when we stay silent when it comes to sin. We cover up our lights when we stay silent about the Lord. One of the other ways we cover up our lights is when we change our behavior. For instance, are we talking to our coworkers the same way that we would talk to a brother or a sister? Are we acting the differently around our non-Christian friends than we are with each other? It's important that we realize these things and notice if we're doing them, because Jesus won't be seen if we are hiding our lights from the world. As I said in the beginning, at my old job, I struggled with this. I struggled keeping my light shining because, of course, I was working in a dark environment, and we all may relate to this somehow, but that's no excuse. Because we all struggle. We all struggle in some way because living in the godless world is hard. It's difficult to keep our lights shining when we might be the only light around. So look, it's difficult to remain joyful and hopeful when it seems like that's absent from the world. But it can be difficult to be the only light. We can be discouraged, and sometimes we may want to turn off our lights. But because we live in a dark world, the darkest moments are when our lights need to shine the brightest. These moments are when Jesus needs to be seen. Think about the apostles. The apostles were persecuted in ways that we can't even fully imagine. But despite being persecuted, despite being punished, despite being killed, they continued to remain faithful. They continued to remain hopeful and joyful. They continued to preach the word. And no matter how dark things got, the glory was still given to Christ. No matter how dark the world is, let's continue to keep our lights uncovered. Because God can be seen through us. We are examples of Christ. All of us here have friends, family, co-workers who don't know Jesus, who are still living in darkness. Who can we be a light to? Jesus describes his disciples in two ways. He says, we are salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. God has given us a purpose to let Jesus be seen in a world that is rotting away. Let's remember our purpose. Let's remember that Jesus is being seen through us, and let's do what we can to remember the purpose that God has given us. If there's anyone here struggling with this in any type of way, I hope you realize you have a church family that is here to help you in any way that we can. If you need prayers, please let us pray for you. But maybe there's someone still here who is walking in darkness. This morning, I hope you've seen the light, which is Christ. And right now, you can make the decision to start walking in that light. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can confess your faith in Jesus. If there is anyone here in need of any of these things, you may come forward now as we stand and as we sing.